Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. We are back for a new decade, even though technically a new decade doesn't start until 2021. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton, rested from our holiday excursions, ready to break down everything that's happening in the world of sports. Lots of stuff to talk about. Football, and more football going on right now. The wildcard weekend has just wrapped itself up. Four interesting games. And guys, I believe we've had only one home team survive. That is Houston. They make it. And even though Buffalo was winning that game for pretty much most of the way, they couldn't hold on. But a lot of people are gone. New England is gone. New Orleans is gone. And Philadelphia is gone. I think Philadelphia, we all expected them to be gone. We thought Seattle and the return of Marshawn Lynch would handle the Eagles, and they did. However, Carson Wentz went down with an injury. Jadeveon Clowney kind of hit him in the back of the helmet, and then he hit the turf. Carson Wentz did not return. Josh McCown was a suitable backup, but he just couldn't quite put the Eagles over the top. And how much of a surprise? Well, let's put it this way, guys. Which result surprises you out of the four games we just saw? Which result surprises you the most?
Neither one of them.
All four?
Neither one of them.
All four went the
all
way you thought.
All four of them, except one, the Buffalo game.
Okay.
Because I had it to where all four road teams was going to win this weekend.
And that's what it looked like.
I honestly did, and that's what it looked like for a minute with Buffalo up 16-0 and they fall to Houston. I believe it was 22-19 eventually in overtime.
Yes.
Which actually ended up being a great game. And when you break down these four games and you look at the four teams that I had chose, first off with Buffalo, Buffalo's defense was as good as it gets. But guess what? Deshaun Watson made the play of playoffs when he broke the sack and he broke two tackles to be sacked and made the completion that would eventually set up the game-winning field goal. That had to be the play of the playoffs. But the pass and the catch of the playoffs came from a guy who, and of course, Leon and I talked about Kirk Cousins. We've been on him. We've been on him hard.
Right.
But he made arguably the throw of the playoffs. He makes this throw to Adam Thielen, and Thielen hadn't been playing well the whole game. He actually fumbled on, I think it was the first possession, he fumbled. So, you know, getting at the Thielen, he's starting to get his rhythm back, and he makes this throw that was just unbelievable. And then, of course, the touchdown toss to Kyle Rudolph, you give him credit where credit is due. I think we all expected for Seattle to get in by virtue of Philadelphia not looking like the most appealing playoff team.
Right.
And I think that's why we, you know, Seattle was a half yard away from winning the NFC West. So we can sit here and say that San Francisco would have done the same thing to Philadelphia or maybe even Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the NFC East was just that bad. And what's the other game? I think it was New England and Tennessee.
Right.
When we look at New England and Tennessee, if you run the football with your rushing champion, which is Derrick Henry, which they did, and you leave Tom Brady off the field, and even though New England didn't look all that great the last 5 weeks of the regular season, they looked vulnerable going into the postseason. And last week when they went down to Miami, and when they went down to Miami 27-24, they had a chance to get a first-round bye.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that.
Nope.
Slowed their momentum down completely. Completely. And you can tell, and you can look at that team, they looked dejected in that game. And Tennessee looked like they had nothing to lose in that game.
Right.
And Derrick Henry was their workhorse. And Ryan Tannehill, who's been a high quarterback, who we've been talking about, led that team, managed the game, ran it with his running back, with the best running back in football probably right now. And that's just what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Running the football, and I'm going to talk about this in my last 3 minutes. Running the football and great defense is what won a lot of these games for all four of these teams. And shout out to the Houston Texans. What a comeback. And J.J. Watt, you come back from a torn pectoral muscle. You're supposed to be out for the year. You come back, and you make an impact like towards the second, third, and midway third quarter of the football game. That was very impressive by him as well.
Yes, very big performance by J.J. Watt in that one. Leon, what was your impressions of these four games in Wild Card Weekend?
Guys, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. At the same time, if that's even possible, if two equal feelings can occupy a space of emotion at the same time, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to see the New England Patriots, you know, to witness what seems to be an end of an era in such a dramatic fashion as we've seen today was, you know, as a Charger fan, to see New England go down like that, you know, was like, you know, now they know how it feels.
Right.
But
yeah,
the traditionalists within me, because traditionally we're used to seeing New England steamroll the first game of the playoffs. You know, but at the same time, we're not used to seeing New England play in the wild card of the playoffs either.
Yep,
that's right. They haven't played in the wild card since 2009.
2009, right.
Man, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And the manner in which Tennessee won, Derrick Henry, 34 rushes, averaging 5.4 yards per carry.
He was nasty.
Everything, man, it was disgusting. I mean, that was real old school football right there. I mean, they just really just looked, the Titans, who no one even picked, I don't believe anybody picked them to go to the playoffs this year.
I didn't.
No, no one did.
I didn't either. I'll be honest with you. I sure didn't. To me, the Tennessee Titans are like the Oklahoma City Thunder of football, meaning they're without the quarterback that we thought they were going to go with, San Diego, Oklahoma City. They are without their point guard, Russell Westbrook, who is now playing in Houston. Mm-hmm. And the Tennessee Titans are without their starting quarterback, who is on the bench, unfortunately, Marcus Mariota. Coming in with the 17th starting quarterback since Dan Marino, formerly the 17th starting quarterback was Ryan Tannehill with the Miami Dolphins, who was similarly left for football dead, who was backing up Marcus Mariota to take the reins and lead his team to the playoffs and seemingly steamroll America's football dynasty of the 20th of the premier football dynasty of the 21st century, that is the New England Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and do it to them just like that. I mean, that to me was I was shocked, but not surprised at the same time. I mean, my goodness, and it leaves a lot of questions on Tom Brady's future next year. Some are saying that he won't be playing for the Chargers next year. I most certainly hope not. Nothing personal with Tom Brady, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, if the Chargers want to move forward, I think we should really mean that.
Right.
And I look at, like, you know, right now the Patriots are a little bit egg on their face because their future is now quarterbacking the number one seed in the entire NFC right about the minute.
Right.
It's a lot of questions. And Derrick Henry doing everything that Ezekiel Elliott was supposed to do this year.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Pay him. Mm-hmm. Pay him. Pay him. It's time to pay him.
Cut the check. That's what I have to.
Yes.
And I know, like, and like you said, we've been real hard on Kirk Cousins over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, right. Him, you know, having all of the potential but not really living up to it, finally shows up in the playoffs where stars are born and flaws are exposed. And it seems that we have Kirk Cousins, who is becoming a star in his league now. And I believe that he will, and if the Vikings are smart, if he shows up, I want to see how he performs next game, which I believe he will. But if this man leads the Vikings to a deep run in the playoffs, potentially to the Super Bowl, I would not be surprised, but I would be shocked at the same time. And if I'm the Vikings management, you get ready to cut that check.
Oh, yes.
And we have to be looking at the New Orleans Saints, who try to pull a fast one this year by trying to sign Antonio Brown through the back door. And the NFL was sitting there like, no, you're not. What's in it for their future?
Right.
Drew Brees, well, is it time for Drew Brees to contemplate retirement, or is Drew Brees going to make another run at it?
I think,
you know, the thing. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
I think Drew Brees will make another run at it because I don't think his injury situation is as desperate as Tom Brady. He's not as old as Brady, and I think Brady's going to try to go for another year. And I can't imagine him not leaving. I can't imagine him leaving New England because New England really doesn't have a backup in place.
No, they don't. And I can't imagine him leaving at the particular circumstance that he hit. The last throw or last real throw that he made was Logan Ryan intercepting his pass and taking it back 10 yards for a touchdown. Then this is the same Logan Ryan who not only played for New England last year, but dropped an interception before the half. Mm-hmm. If you guys saw that, he had a pick six in his hand before the half. And everybody was like, okay, we're going to look back at this play. This could be the play that possibly lost. I don't think Brady leaves a home playoff game that way. As far as Drew Brees goes, John, I agree with you. I think Brees will be back next year. Mm-hmm. But the question is, because I'm going to say this, a lot of Saints fans are going to listen to me and be like, oh, that's blasphemous.
Yes.
But the Saints may have won this game had they kept Taysom Hill under center.
Right.
If people were watching this game, Taysom Hill was a huge difference maker. Yes, you can line him up. Yeah, he caught a touchdown pass. You can line him up as a fullback. He helped Kamara get in the end zone. He got a touchdown pass. He threw the 50-yarder to the rookie. What's his name? Tommy Harris or Tommy Lee something. But he threw the pass to him. 50 yards down the field, beautiful throw. But when he's under center, he brings a different dynamic. He is hard to stop. You have to hit him. You have to gang tackle this guy to get him down. Taysom Hill is as good as it gets. And it's funny because when he led them down the field with about 4 minutes to go, what happened the next play? Brees fumbles.
Right.
And turns the ball over. So it's like, Hill just gives you a different dynamic. You know, he gives you a dynamic that we're actually kind of changing to, mm-hmm. that Lamar Jackson style of offense. Like next week, I think it's going to be a bruising battle. I don't think the football is not going to be thrown enough for people next week
right.
when the Titans play the Ravens. There's going to be some running going on, and Lamar Jackson's going to bring a different element of running versus that. What Leon mentioned, that old school style running at the Titans, lining up I formation, let's go straight up the gut with Derrick Henry kind of running. So we're going to see a lot of that next week, but. No, I don't think these two. I still think these two got enough in them. It's not in me to say that they're done.
Right.
But you know, they're not going to let this go down like this. And I'm going to say one more thing about the New Orleans Saints. 24-23 is damn near equivalent to 28-3. This team has not gotten over that, and they have just like we haven't gotten over the Super Bowl. It's going to be hard for them to get over the Minneapolis Miracle. And guess what? They had an opportunity to redeem themselves.
They did.
And they still did not get it done. At this time, there are no excuses. A lot of people want to say there was pass interference, offensive pass interference on Kyle Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
On the touchdown throw, it was not because Williams, number one, did not contest the football. He didn't turn his head.
Right.
And he was jockeying for position, and he was holding Rudolph's arm. And Rudolph just tried to get position away from him. Therefore, you don't make that call.
Right.
There is nothing we can say now about any pass interference. I will give them the pass interference call. It was, when you go back and look at it, many, many times it was an egregious call. You missed the call. But you still had opportunities to win this ball game, and you still didn't get it done. Minnesota advances.
Yes. If you're the Saints, that was my big question. Who are you going to sue? I mean, Because, like I said, the Saints basically have had three straight heartbreaking losses in the playoffs. And they got to just, they're really starting to wonder what they have to do right now to advance. And I guess the answer to that is get the bye. And although they did have the bye a couple of times, but they just can't seem to get over the hump.
They had the bye last year.
Yeah, they just can't seem to get over the hump. They just cannot seem to make that Super Bowl. And boy, that is just crushing their fan hopes, their fan thoughts about what the team is. They're just really hurting New Orleans, which just lives and dies with the Saints right now. And it's hard to feel bad for them. It really is.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I think it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse if you're New Orleans. The fact that you guys are even getting the opportunity to even see your team in the playoffs back-to-back years.
Three years in a row.
Yep, 3 years in a row.
Yeah. It's great football being played in New Orleans. And sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way when it counts at times, you know. And I go back to what John said, who are you going to see?
Yeah, just take that
under the chin and keep it moving.
Yeah, you have to look at yourself sometimes, guys, and say, what are we doing?
Right.
Like because there were some plays in all three of those games where we can point to and say, oh, well, we could have done this better. When you look at the Minneapolis Miracle, obviously it was the throw from Keenan to Diggs that should have been stopped, and T.J. Williams undercut the man. So, I mean, yeah, he takes it in for a touchdown, and Minnesota goes to the NFC Championship. Obviously, last year, yeah, you had a pass interference call, but what did we always say? The Saints won the toss. Breeze threw the pick, and he set Zerline up for the field goal to send the Rams to the Super Bowl. All you do is go down there and score. And with opportune times in this game, where they couldn't stop Dalvin Cook. They turned the ball over maybe twice. I believe it was twice they turned the ball over. And this was a team who led the NFL in the least of takeaways with eight. They had the least amount of takeaways coming into the postseason. But it's just to show postseason numbers don't matter. It really doesn't matter what you do in the postseason. If you can be able to bring that into the postseason or whatever and leave whatever you did in the regular season, that's fine. But it's a whole new game. It starts over. It's 0-0. And that's it. Nobody's going to care what you did in the regular season.
Exactly. And it goes back to, like I said in the last segment, you know, the postseason is where stars are born and flaws are exposed.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, for New Orleans, you know, some of their flaws are exposed. We look at New England. It seems that their run defense, and some people have predicted this, that, you know, that their run defense wasn't really as strong as it needed to be. And we've seen how Tennessee took full advantage of that. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. And, you know, I don't, you know, a part of me, you know, to go back to your point, Daniel, you know, I was very disappointed in Randy Moss.
Really?
And his analysis. Yeah, his analysis of the Patriots and Tennessee Titans game.
What did he say? Because I didn't see this in the NFL Cotman.
Yeah, this, you know, and I like Randy Moss. He's my all-time favorite wide receiver.
Of course.
Great journalist. I mean, on point as ever. But for him to kind of admonish Tom Brady from blame, you know, and just say that, you know, get this man some help. I mean, that's not a slap in the face to all his teams. I mean, football is the ultimate team sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody could have played better. But to say that everybody played crappy with the exception of Tom Brady, I can't agree with that. You know, it starts and ends with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, the ball just didn't bounce their way this game. You know, this man has a whole 20-year resume of success just about with the exception of 2002. And 2009, where he was hurt. So 2002, they missed the playoffs. 2009, he was hurt. other than that, it's been a pretty great run for the Patriots with Tom Brady at the helm. And, you know, Father Time, you know, catches up with you. Yep. So to say, oh, get this man some help, these guys went 12-4, okay? They had a typical Patriots season, 12 wins, 4 losses. The only time that the Patriots have not received 12 wins, at least 12 wins, is 2002 and 2009. And unfortunately, during 2009 with Matt Castellanos, they went 11-5. Ooh.
But they missed the playoffs that year.
Right.
They missed the playoffs that year.
At 11-5. You know,
yep.
Right. With a backup quarterback. Oh. But you know, the sky isn't falling. If Tom Brady decides to make a run at it next year, I'm pretty sure we'll see similar results. We'll see a great regular season, and we might see some postseason magic, maybe. But for Randy Moss to go off and just to belittle all of, you know, the teammates by saying, get this man some help, I can't really agree with that. It just kind of just happened that way, you know.
Exactly. And it'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do again, because even if Tom Brady goes, they are just awfully thin at quarterback. And I think really they got to get Tom Brady some weapons. I think who he has right now, he's just got Justin Edelman. He needs somebody else. He really needs Gronk to come back. I don't know if Gronk is any interested. I think he's having way too much fun being retired. And I can't believe we're I can't believe we're actually hearing rumblings that he's going to pull a Jason Witten and come back. Like I said, he's just having way too much fun. They need offensive weapons. And Brady's gonna have to sit down with Belichick and say, okay, this is what we're gonna do. I think the Patriots will probably still have enough to win the AL East, although Buffalo's just gotta put this behind them.
Yeah.
And really what Buffalo needs to do is sit down and coach Josh Allen.
I agree 100%.
They have to see if this is our answer going forward. And really what you're going to have to do with Josh Allen, and I saw the same thing with Baker Mayfield, we have to keep him on the field, can't let him go off and do his own thing with commercials. If he makes a commercial, make one, and be it for the Buffalo Mattress Company or something like that. No national spots. And I think you have to go in and start working on wrinkles, other elements for his game to develop. I don't want to see a Josh Allen in 2020 that is exactly the same as Josh Allen in 2019. I want to see something different, because you're going to have to confuse the defenses, keep them guessing, and the only way they're going to do that is through coaching. And I think Buffalo does have some good coaches to do that. They just need to sit down and work with him.
I'm in agreement with you, John. But I'm gonna say this, and kind of uttering everything you're saying. We've often said this about the young guys. We said this about Deshaun Watson last year when he lost his opening playoff game. Mm-hmm. Failure is often our greatest teacher.
Exactly.
It is our greatest teacher. Josh Allen made some plays that were great, but then he made some plays that made him look like he had been in his first playoff game, which he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Josh Allen is their guy leading into the future. He has that element of running and throwing the football, but you're right, he does need to make a little bit more better decisions when it comes to it, even when it comes to getting the ball out of his hands and not taking the sack. Like, he has to make those plays. And I think that on that platform, being up 16-0 to Deshaun Watson in Houston and against a guy who's been cool since high school, mm-hmm. right? You know, so, you know, you got all of those elements and all of that. Listen, Buffalo's going to give New England a run for their money in that East. Okay, it's no question about it. They have a great defense. Tre'Davious White back there in the cornerback position, arguably a top 5 cornerback in football right now. I just think Buffalo's going to be around for the next 2 or 3 years,
right?
Especially with Allen at the quarterback position. I think his ceiling is so far up that it's ridiculous. And I think he has no choice but to go up. And I think he will.
Right. Right.
I see a lot of
Now, no, go ahead, Leon.
Do you guys, besides giving New England a good run for the money that we're saying that Buffalo will do going forward, mm-hmm. are we witnessing before our eyes a changing of the guard in the AFC East?
Or not yet.
It's going to be not yet.
Not yet.
Because you gotta take it away from New England. Nobody has proven that they can take the East away from you. 11 straight divisional championships. And it's close. But Buffalo lost to them both times this year.
Right.
So they had their opportunity this year. They would have had to take the guard away, Leon. It would have been this year. But until you can knock them off, just like Clemson, you can arguably say, if they win the national championship in about a week, in about 8 days, if they win the national championship, you cannot say that they've knocked Alabama off as the dynasty. They've ended Alabama's dynasty, and they're the new dynasty. So it's almost like that or whatnot. But New England's still the divisional champions in that division. Now, as far as the AFC goes, New England, that run may have come to an end for them. I really don't see New England getting back to a Super Bowl. They could possibly next year if they come back and make another run, but I don't know. There's such great teams coming up. Kansas City, Baltimore, and then you got other teams that haven't made the playoffs. You got evolving teams like the Texans and the Titans. Those teams are there. They're there, and even Buffalo. But we'll see what happens. I'm not ready to change the guards on the East yet. If Buffalo can get over that hump and win that division, then yeah, I give it to them.
Right.
I'm hearing some interesting rumblings about possible Tom Brady destination next year. I heard a rumbling that Tom Brady could wind up in Indianapolis.
I've heard that same rumble.
Yeah. But again, if Tom Brady goes anywhere, New England's got to get an established quarterback to as recompense.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's got to be Tom Brady for Jacoby Brissett or something along those lines.
Right.
That's another thing. And that's another thing. Indianapolis has to decide if Jacoby Brissett is their long-term answer. Because he kind of got tossed into this.
He did. He really did.
If I'm in Indianapolis, I run with you. You don't want to pull. See, I would compare Tom Brady to Peyton Manning going to the Broncos, but Peyton Manning wasn't in year 26, okay, when he went to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. But he still got a title.
Oh, he did. Kirk Curtis in his defense. You know, he had Von Miller, and Von Miller. Who's the gentleman who came from who came from Dallas? DeMarcus Ware.
Oh yeah, DeMarcus Ware.
And and Aqib Talib. I mean, that was like the Orange Crest all over again. And you know, Peyton Manning that said that he wanted to come back, but then they was like, "Nah, we don't really need you." Nah. You know, they were matter of fact. Denver was just really a quarterback away, but they didn't want to bring in Colin Kaepernick, so they decided to go with Cal Orton, and you know that the rest is not so good. It's, you know, now they're on Joe Flacco, now they're on another guy right now. I mean, it's a lot of quarterback limbo right about the minute going on in NFL right now. So I don't know, and interesting, you know, we're going to see. You know, if I'm Tom Brady, just stay put. Give another world next year, you know, give another play. To think about it, if Tom Brady goes to the Chargers, which I hope doesn't happen, you'll have LeBron James and Tom Brady in the same city at the same time.
I don't think Tom Brady's going to the Chargers for the simple reason is that they've already got Phillip Rivers. You're not really addressing your problem. You have an old quarterback on the way out. Do you really want another old quarterback on the way out just to chase a title? I'm not really sure about. If you're the Chargers, I think you're trading one headache for another. If you're the Chargers, yes, even if you do this, you still need to draft a quarterback.
Indeed. Like, if you're a billion, if you're a billionaire, is that a billion-dollar decision?
Right.
I don't think so. Yeah, I got to roll with John on that one.
You're right. No, I agree with him too.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna do that, and I think there's gonna be quite a number of good quarterbacks gonna be available in the draft this season. Very intriguing prospects. You know, Mr. Herbert, Mr. Burrow, who we all agree is going to go number one to the Bengals. And just depends on, again, what Tua is going to do and what Jake Fromm is going to do, because I think he is eligible this year.
He is.
Yep. He is eligible. He is a junior. So he could go if he wants to, but he hasn't made a decision, and I don't know when he is going to make a decision about his draft eligibility.
I'm of the mindset that I think Jake Fromm needs another year.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elaborate on that, Leon.
He's won zero shootouts. What shootouts have Jake Fromm won this year to the point where he's thrown the ball for more than 30 times that resulted in a victory?
Right. He hasn't.
And he struggles with that. So if you're a game manager to a certain, he's a glorified game manager, let's be honest. You know, and on the college level, now granted he does play in the SEC, which is the SEC is just the cream of the crop, the elite conference of NCAA in the United States of America.
Right.
Closest thing you'll get to NFL football.
Right.
So when you're a college football player, quarterback, I'm gonna need to see domination of. I'm gonna need to see you dominate your position. Like we see the way Joe Burrow is playing right now for LSU, that's the NFL quarterback right there. That is the future of the Cincinnati Bengals that we're looking at right there, and everybody knows it. See, when I look at Jake Fromm, everybody doesn't know it. And if everybody doesn't know it, I'm one of those people that doesn't know that he can actually play quarterback for this thing for the Chargers. I don't think so. If I'm the Chargers, I'm going off and with a sharp part of my elbow, I'm gonna hit the New Orleans Saints management in the ribs, and they're like, "No, we're not giving you Drew Brees. We're not talking about that guy. We're talking about Mr. Bridgewater. Bring him over."
Yes, Bridgewater. Yes. That's going to be a very interesting topic where Teddy Bridgewater is going to go, because I think a lot. But again, haven't we seen this a lot? The hot replacement quarterback gets drafted, gets traded to lead his own team, and really doesn't do anything.
At all.
I mean, that's the story of Denver's. That's the story of the Denver Broncos ever since Manning left.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, matter of fact, before Manny left, you know, they tried to bring in Tim Tebow. Well, they had Kyle Orton, who came over from Chicago, and they brought Kyle in, and he laid a tremendous egg. So he's like, "Why blanket? Let's throw Tim Tebow in and let him to the playoffs." But that just wasn't enough. You know, they didn't see what they wanted to see. So then they brought in Mr. Manning. And they have seemingly, like, it's like, it looked like a genius move on John Elway's part, but we all knew what this was going to end. It was just a 3-year experiment, but, you know, it's delaying the inevitable what's going on right now. Right. They're in limbo. So I'm looking at, you know, if I'm to John's point two weeks ago, if I'm the Chargers or if I'm Cincinnati Bengals, I go off and, you know, get Phillip Rivers, have him go to Cincinnati and draft Joe Burrows. And have Phillip Rivers play the role of a mentor. And to John's point again, no matter how good Phillip does, he's only in there for a year. Mm-hmm. And then you bring Joe Burrows in. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a toss-up. Do you actually expose Joe Burrows to the culture of losing so soon? Or do you just let him lick him?
I was talking to someone about that. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Jude Floyd. I was talking to him. And it's funny because he asked that same question. He said, "Man, do we want to put Joe Burrow in like a bad position like the Cincinnati Bengals would be?" Well, I mean, that's what comes with the territory when you're talking about the NFL draft.
Exactly.
You know, the best player is going to get drafted to the worst team. And what's supposed to happen is that, because I think, yeah, they need more than a quarterback, because the Bengals need a quarterback. Otherwise, they go for Chase Young. And they don't necessarily need Chase Young. They need a quarterback because they're moving on from Andy Dalton. And what better way to move on from Andy Dalton is to get you a pro-style quarterback like Joe Burrow. Right. You know, get him. If he needs some sort of development, the only development he needs is to develop in the system. And what Zach Taylor brings, that's if Zach Taylor's still there, which I think he will be. This is just his first year. So if he can do that and he flourishes underneath it, remember, he's going to have a healthy A.J. Green back. When healthy, A.J. Green's a top five receiver. Let's not forget that. He's got a pretty decent running game in Joe Mixon. The offensive line needs fixing. And then we'll see what the defense can hold up with. They got some athletes on defense. We'll see what happens with that. But you have to give that time. The Bengals have hit the reset button, and we didn't really realize that. Now it's their time to progress. They move on. They're going to get the guy that they want. Joe Burrow will go number one. I think we all know that. And you move on from there. And let's see what happens if you give him a three-year process. You know, that's how long it normally takes to see how good your quarterback really is. 3 years. Let's give him 3 years. Let's see what he can do. Can he flourish in this system? What can he do here? You know, next year, Baker Mayfield. What is he going to do? This year was his first full season as starter. Last year, he came in, I think, after week five, I believe it was.
Yeah, when Hugh got fired.
But, yeah, right after Hugh Jackson got fired. That's right. That's right, John. Yeah. And I think they were 0-4 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so now let's see what he can do next year. And then they need a new coach because they fired Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, exactly. So Cincinnati needs a new coach, too.
Cincinnati needs
a new coach. And, hey, we didn't even talk about this, guys. Dallas needs a new coach. They finally pulled the plug on Jason Garrett.
Which was coming. We knew that. Yeah, you didn't win the East. And a lot of people are stunned, John and Leon, about what took Dallas so long to pull the plug. Why did we have to go through a 3-4-day process for us to already know why we fired him? Here's why. Jason Garrett has been in the Dallas Cowboys system since 94 or 95 when he backed up Troy Aikman. After he was done with football, he went straight into a coordinator position. He was a quarterback coach for a long time, then became offensive coordinator, then he took over as head coach and had been the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys for almost a decade, if not a decade.
Right.
So all he knows is the Dallas Cowboys. And it was hard for Jerry Jones to let that guy go. He's been the only guy that has been in his system for that long and has done damn near everything and anything you have asked him to do, from being the holding the clipboard for Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, and Troy Aikman, to actually head coaching and leading this team to a couple of divisional wins, a couple of divisional championships, failed to make it to the NFC championship, which, of course, that is the reason why. That's another reason why he got fired, because he never made it to the NFC championship game. So, and then, of course, this year, you had the NFC East wrapped up, and you let it slip. You let it slip right there out of your hands. On paper, you may have had the most talented team in the NFC. And you produced an 8-8. You produced an 8-8 team. So, but it was hard for them to do. It's just something that they just could not do. It was an emotional time for the Jones family to let him go. Jason kind of already knew. And another thing, I think this is my opinion, my humble opinion. I really think they were trying to look for a front office job for Jason Garrett, so that he could stay within the Cowboys organization. I really think that was the holdup of that whole thing. Okay. They tried to look for like a personnel kind of position for him or something. And at the end of the day, they just couldn't find anything. Yeah. And they had to end it.
Oh, you know,
Oh, you don't think they're going to keep him somehow within the organization?
No, because they would have done that.
Yeah, they tried.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's out.
They tried to do it. Yeah, they tried to do that, Leon. And that's why it was such a holdup. That's why this past week, where they kept meeting up with each other, mm-hmm. they kept meeting and meeting and meeting. That's the reason why. They tried to find a place to put Garrett in that organization, and they just couldn't. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been collecting 20 years of checks. I'm pretty sure Jason's going to be okay. But if I'm Jason Garrett, I'll be just, man, let me tell you. Are you familiar with the movie Bad Boys 1?
Yeah.
Bad Boys Part 1. Okay. Remember the part when Will Smith, Mike Lowry, goes to his apartment to find dogs in his living room? Because, you know, Marge is in there with the girl. And he sees his leather chewed up, dog droppings on his floor. We know how Will Smith keeps his house, or Mike Lowry keeps his house. He said, I'll be pissed.
Yeah.
So that's how Jason Garrett probably feels about Ezekiel Elliott about the minute. Zeke, you cost me my job. man. We went off and we stopped. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. The blame has to go around. You know, you go up, you do this massive holdout. You're in Cabo San Lucas. You cause this big uproar. You get the biggest check cut for a running back since ever. $50 million guaranteed. And you get showed up by a new guy by the name of Derrick Henry, who does everything that Zeke should have been doing this year. Derrick Henry did everything that Zeke should have got paid to do this year. And he messed up his coach's job. That's why Jason Garrett lost the job. Ezekiel Elliott. Jason Garrett can't get handoffs. You know, a big part of their offense is Zeke. That was the reason why Dallas got the pass for not making the playoffs a couple of years ago. Because Zeke was hurt. Everybody knows that Zeke is what makes that offense go. Granted, Dak is who Dak is. Let's not take that.
Dak was second in the league in passing. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Second in the league. He had to be.
Top four passers. Because he had to be. Playoffs.
Right.
The top five did not make the playoffs, and only one of them had a winning record.
Exactly.
Only one, and that was Jared Goff, and that was the Rams. I think the Rams finished at 9-7, but Dak finished 8-8. Jameis Winston was number one. I think they finished 7-9. Phillip Rivers, Ryan. Chargers, Matt Ryan. Yep. Yeah. It's just to show that passing stuff is it's cute and it's regular, mm-hmm. as in regular season. But if you want to post up. With that Lombardi trophy in the postseason, you better learn how to run the football, and you better play defense.
Exactly.
Yep.
A lot of times people forget that.
Yeah.
Yes, and they just let Jason Garrett down this year. They just let him down. You know, the defense of Dallas, like just didn't show up this year. The running game was just non-existent. I mean, they said the running game was off, but Zeke isn't being paid $50 million guaranteed and $90 million contract to just be all right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That man messed his coach's job up. So it's quite unfortunate, you know. And Jason Garrett, you know, he's the coach. And, you know, I'm a movie guy. And I'm going to go back to the film Traffic. Okay? And the film Traffic, Michael Douglas received a certain job, which he was like pretty much he overlooked the whole drug enforcement laws in the United States. When he got the job, the person that preceded him said that when you get in trouble, you write a letter.
Oh yeah.
Or you get in, you write a letter. You open the drawer, you'll see a letter said blame me. All right, if you get in trouble. The second one goes as far as this: if you get in trouble for the second time, you write another letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to get fired, and that's similar to what happened. I don't think it's to that point. That's probably Dak will get a new contract if they're smart. But we see this in Cleveland. The first one to take the fall for failure was Cleveland. I mean, was Freddie K.
Yeah.
Freddie Kitchens.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next one they're going to put on the chopping block will be Baker Mayfield. And I'm saying this because of, from what I'm hearing, Odell Beckham wants to come back. He wants to come back and give it another go in Cleveland. And
he should.
As he should, you know, because they laid a mean egg. I mean, my goodness, that was a very disappointing season they had this year. They're arguably, I mean, I know we had the big debate on who's the most disappointing team between the Falcons and the Chargers earlier this year.
Yeah,
you know, and I think we were both. Oh yeah, yeah.
Wrong. We're wrong.
You guys had
the
better record. We were both wrong.
It was Cleveland. It was Cleveland, without question. Yeah.
By a long shot, you know. And if I'm Cleveland, do you really want to, you know, flush that away? What you guys have, pretty much the on paper. Potentially the best running attack, the best two-headed monster of a backfield, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. I mean, that's gold back there. You guys have, of course, you know, Cleveland and what's this? Miles Garrett, one of the best rushers in the NFL, coming on defense. You guys potentially have the best wide receiver tandem. You don't want to mess that up.
Right.
And if you guys, if next year, if Cleveland lays another egg, if I'm Cleveland's coaching staff, unfortunately for Baker Mayfield, he did not inherit a Cincinnati Bengals, which would have been the best thing for him to do. He didn't inherit a Arizona Cardinals like Kyler Murray did, which was the best thing, which was a beautiful thing for Kyler Murray to inherit, because he didn't have the expectations wasn't there. He inherited a Lamar Jackson type situation with your team. You inherited a potential contender. Which Lamar Jackson inherited a contender and actually pushed them over the top, potentially. And I think that the Baltimore Ravens will make a Super Bowl run, but that's a whole other conversation. But when I'm looking at Baker Mayfield, he seemingly inherited a contender. Not no contender in Cleveland Browns, it doesn't make sense. But if we look at it on paper, that's a contending roster they have on their hands.
Yep.
And if they lay another egg next year, guys, will Cleveland, because you don't want to lose that roster. You don't want guys to start leaving.
Right.
Right.
If you're Cleveland to appease not just your fan base, because that's what Dallas is in a situation. The Dallas fan base was threatening the mutiny on the Cowboys. They had to do something. Politics matter. Someone take the blame. But if you don't want to, you don't just want to appease your fan base. You want to appease your locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have all that talent, because we've seen the same thing happen in Chicago a couple of years ago, where they had Brandon Marshall on one end and Ashon Jeffries on the other end and Matt Forte in the background. And they just weren't getting a job done with Jay Cutler.
Right.
You know, and we kind of seen the same thing happen this year with Minnesota, where you had some of the wide receivers just weren't even trying to come to practice because they were protesting Kirk Cousins. He didn't get his stuff together. And we see Kirk Cousins did. And we see that the great thing that Minnesota's doing now. But we could potentially see that and the Cleveland Browns next year, if they keep Baker Mayfield, if they keep on laying eggs. I know he's still a young guy. He's still wet underneath the nose. And it's an unfortunate situation, because if you look at it, you're like, dang, why are they so hard on Baker Mayfield? Look at Jameis Winston. Yeah, I know. Look at Jameis Winston, you know? This man almost led the whole. This man is the first man to throw for 30 picks and 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, can you believe that? And Brett Favre was around, and Brett Favre threw a lot of interceptions, and he didn't even do that.
He never threw that many.
You know, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to bring him back. I believe that unlike the Cleveland Browns, who pretty much they have, you know, the full package. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need a running game. They had a little running game. Yeah, I'm looking at the box score times. I watched a couple of Tampa Bay games this year. I've seen games where James Winston threw the ball 50 times. When your offense is that predictable, things like that are going to happen when your offense is predictable. And we've seen this year where the top four passers did not make the playoffs. We've seen this happen last year where Ben Roethlisberger, if you remember, led the league in passing, but they didn't make the playoffs because it lost so much.
But it's going back to your point too, Leon, about that. Those top five guys that I had just named, Goff, Prescott, Winston, Rivers, Ryan. The problem was, and it was what I alluded to, that those five defenses were maybe, I don't think none of those defenses cracked the top 20. Mm-hmm. And they did not have a good running game. Atlanta was 30th running the football. 30 out of 32 running the football. And that's not what we're accustomed to down here.
No.
In Atlanta. We're not accustomed to that. And that was one of the big concerns and the big problems, too. These five guys had no choice but to pass the football because they couldn't run it. And they didn't play great defense. And that's why they didn't make the playoffs. Now, if there was a team who had an uprising, who you could possibly say next year, you know what, they might be back. The way Atlanta finished, guys, they finished 6-2 in their last 8 games.
Right.
And I know a lot of people were like, "We're wishing, man, if we would have started off at least 3-5, we would probably be in the playoffs. If we would have beaten Minnesota and gotten that Seattle game,
we
would have been good. We would have been great." But that just wasn't the case. And I know a lot of people are looking at it like, "Hey, Dan Quinn, you keep Dan Quinn, you keep Thomas Dimitroff." Well, yeah, they went 6-2 behind in the back end. You're not going to let a guy go for going 6-2. I know if you were going to fire Dan Quinn, you would have had to fire him at 1-7.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people were wishing that they would fire him at 1-7.
Right. Right. And it just didn't happen. It didn't happen. That team was better than that 1-7 record that you saw. And they showed it to us. They beat San Francisco. They beat New Orleans in New Orleans. They beat Carolina twice. They went 4-2 in the division.
Yes.
Guys, the Falcons did. See, the Falcons did for Dan Quinn what the Cowboys just didn't do for Jason Garrett.
For Jason Garrett.
Right.
Absolutely.
They had to beat
the
Eagles.
They did not save Jason Garrett's job.
Yep.
They had to win the Eagles, and they didn't save his job.
Right. Well, we are the last three guys to do a podcast. We've been talking NFL, the wild card weekend. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Boy, we are running short on time. That went way longer than I wanted it to. Not to knock it. It was a great conversation. We hit a lot of topics. But I just want to get your opinion very quick. Well, I guess, you know what, we can leave college football for next week because really not much is going to happen until – actually, nothing's going to happen until next week when LSU and Clemson go at it at the in New Orleans for the national title. We'll talk about that. We'll do a deep dive on that game next week. So again, I wanted to talk about it, but you know what? We'll leave it for next week. That's because that, I think, will work out pretty good with that because it'll give us a whole hour to discuss. And we'll also be talking about the NFL playoffs, the divisional playoffs going on before we get to the conference championships and then the Super Bowl. But before we go, before we get into our last 30 seconds, our last 60 seconds, very quick, outside of the LSU-Clemson game, anything else surprised you, jumped out at you in terms of the smorgasbord of bowl games that we sat through over the Christmas break?
I would like to have seen Georgia State perform a little better against Wyoming.
Yeah, George. Well, the thing of it is, Dan Ellington, I think playing with that torn ACL, I mean, there's really only so much he could do. And that was really their big issue. He needs to get that. He needs to go under the knife. He needs to get that fixed. Testament from him for trying to gut it out. But really, if you've got a torn ACL, you really need to shut yourself down
and worry about the next stage of what's coming up. I mean, I know he wanted to do it. He wanted to be with his he wanted to be out there with his brothers, with his team for that final push, and I know he enjoyed himself getting to that bowl game out in Tucson, but really, you know, I was just walking that situation, but boy, he is running the real risk of blowing out his leg and quite possibly just wrecking it for the rest of his remainder of his life. Fortunately, it didn't happen, but you know he wasn't 100% for that game.
We got to mention it too. Speaking of college football, one of the biggest topics this year. Are you guys pro or con Tua Tagovailoa coming back? I mean,
man,
that's tough.
Tua
has nothing to prove college wise. I think the only reason why he comes back is for his draft status, and even then, I think he's a late first round. That's the only reason why Tua comes back, just to try and move from the late first round to possibly the middle to the top first round.
That is so tough, though, man. That decision is so tough.
Yeah.
Because the injury happened at the wrong time, it happened like so deep into the regular season, and that's just tough, man. That's really tough because we don't know how long it's going to take him to recover from that hip injury. I mean, when you bring the name of Bo Jackson and hip injury, in the same discussion. And yeah, like I said, it happened in the late 80s, early 90s, but man, it still that injury. Everybody remembers what happened with Bo Jackson. We never saw him in football again when that happened. So, you know, it's like, it kind of scares you a little bit to hear that. Now, of course, we've advanced in technology, especially in the medical field. Torn ACLs, you can come back in 7 to 8 months where it damn near ended your career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, for Tua, man, whatever decision he decides to make, I hope it's a great one. I just really don't know which one
he needs to come out this year. He needs to come out this year because, like you said, next year we have Trevor Lawrence, we have Justin Fields. He's not going. He like and go to John's points, late first round. You don't want that. You need to come out this year.
True.
If you're going to do your healing, what you're speculating, do it by getting a check.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's all about the money like that, but he has an opportunity to. There's an NFL team. There will be an NFL team that will go out and draft him.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yes. And they will give him time to heal. You know, he doesn't have. He's not going to go out like Tommy Frazier, where you don't have blood clots, you don't have a recurring, life threatening illness on you like Tommy Frazier did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he has a very healable injury. We've seen how you know, and I don't want to you know, Todd Gurley. He did great things. There's questions about Todd Gurley going forward, but. With the way that the medicine technology is, I believe that this is the best decision. And you don't want to subject yourself to that type of punt to the SEC punishment again for free. No, he done his work. He did his job. Unfortunately, that injury happened, but that's not going to. I don't think he's going to end up to it. I don't think he's going to.
Real quick, guys.
Yep.
To go back to your question, John, which kind of surprised me. During the Bowls season, I'm going to tell you, I thought Utah did not show up the last two games. They laid an egg in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yep.
And then it showed how uninterested they were against Texas in their bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Very surprised. I don't know if I'm disappointed, but I was kind of surprised at the effort that they put forward towards their bowl game. So that would be, if I had to pick a surprise, it would be Utah not really showing up for that game.
All right, there you have it. So, again, we're running toward the end of our hour here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. John Morgan, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Now it comes the time for our last 60 seconds. Who wants to go first?
I'll go last.
Oh, man, I was going to go last. All right, so Leon, you're
up.
You
go last.
Leon's up.
I'll go first because I got the last one. I'd like to say kudos to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I am among the people that, as far as I'm concerned, OKC is an afterthought. I left OKC as you know, just a sheer afterthought. I'm thinking to myself that Chris Paul was in basketball purgatory. They're pretty much they were writing Chris Paul's retirement papers on by sending him to OKC. You know that I mean just all every bad thing you could possibly imagine was had happened to Chris Paul. I feel like the roof just caved in on Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Oklahoma State Thunder is in the West and they are winning. They have above 500 record. They are better than the Pelicans. They are looking other teams in the eye. I believe that I believe OKC is 21-17, if not a little better. And I want to see OKC take the seventh seed in the playoffs on purpose so they can just go off and play against Houston and potentially upset Houston in the playoffs. Because I don't believe that Russell Westbrook's style of play, great player that he is, mm-hmm. the Hall of Famer that he is, but this man has yet to win a postseason series without Kevin Durant. And he's been given every single opportunity to do so. He was given the weapons last year with Melo, Paul George, and they still came up short. He got bodied by a rookie and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, just disgusting. And I think that they're giving him another shot this year with James Harden and the Houston Rockets. But I think that if they go into the playoffs this year, and I'm saying I think, I'm not making any type of direct predictions. I'm just saying, based on what I'm talking about historical pattern recognition, HPR, that based on historical pattern of recognition, the way he's been playing, I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I said it right here, can go into Houston and potentially upset the Houston Rockets and lead their organization in shambles once again. That's my main guy.
Okay.
I got it, John. You go last. I got it.
Cool.
So, and I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. And, you know, we've already been hit hard this year as far as losing some of our sports figures this year. We've lost maybe three pretty noticeable ones. I know the one most noticeable, and I'm going to leave him last, man. The first one we lost is Sam White, who actually was the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals in the late 80s. He died at the age of 74 on New Year's Day. Pretty good head coach. Not bad of a head coach. He led the Bengals to that Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they lost that one to one Joe Montana when Montana hit John Taylor in the back of the end zone for a 20-16 victory.
Right.
The second guy we lost is one Don Larson.
Yep.
And for you young folks who don't know who Don Larson is, he is the only man to pitch a perfect game in the World Series, and he still holds that distinction to this day. He pitched that in 1956 for the New York Yankees. And if you look at his career stats, you would think that he would belong in the Hall of Fame, but because of the fact that he's pitched a perfect game, so you're thinking, oh, man, he's had some phenomenal – he must be a phenomenal pitcher. Well, in his career, he was 81-91 and never won more than 11 games and went 3-21 with Baltimore. But he will always be known as the only man to face 27 batters and knock them all down in a World Series game. So shout out to him. And, oh, my goodness, David Stern.
Yep.
You're talking about I've made this, and I'm going to say this. May have been the greatest commissioner to ever commish a sport, one of the four major sports. Think about what this man has done. He sent probably the greatest team ever assembled over to the Olympics and said, hey, we want to send NBA players over here. We want to put them on an international globe. He marketed his players. He made All-Star Weekend probably the best All-Star Weekend ever. He developed the G League. The WNBA is his. Anything that you can say that he helped revolutionize the sport and helped revolutionize the NBA, David Stern has done. He really has. And when he took over in 1984, you only needed $5 million to buy a team.
Yeah.
Dang. Now you need five. Now you need up to $3 billion.
Right.
To buy a team, and you need a collection of millions to buy that team.
Right. Now,
that's how far the NBA has gotten, and that's how far it's went with David Stern. Commissioner Silver's doing a great job, but there'll be no other like David Stern. So I just want to say rest in peace to those three figures there in sports.
And, of course, the other figure passed away in a very tragic situation was one Bryce Gowdy from Deerfield Beach, Florida.
Recruit
to Georgia Tech. And now comes word that the cause of death was suicide when he got hit by a train while leaving the Deerfield in the Deerfield Beach area. And that is a very interesting issue. This is a young man. He had a full scholarship to Georgia Tech. He had everything to live for. But now we're hearing that he had some possible mental issues with depression, mental health. And even though you think people have got it all figured out, they have their entire life in front of them, everything proverbially to live for, that doesn't mean anything in terms of what is going on in a person's head. And that is the battle that none of us can see. So even though it may look like someone has got it all figured out, oftentimes the people that have it all, that look like they have it all figured out, are the ones in need of the most help. So again, we're going to be saying this, we're going to be ramming this point home for a very, very long time, but just listen to people. And if you think that people are reaching out for help, be sure to try and provide it. And of course, for everyone struggling with this issue, talk to someone. There are suicide prevention hotlines set up all over the nation. I don't have one here in front of me, but I'm sure a quick Google search will give it to you. Please, please talk to someone if you need the assistance, because as Mr. Gowdy's life proves, it really doesn't matter a person's status. It really doesn't mean anything what's going on inside, and that's something we all need to learn and hopefully keep in heart as we move forward in this 2020 season. All right.
Absolutely, John.
All right. That's going to wrap us up here for the last three guys to do a podcast. We're phoning it in right now. Again, I came on a little bit late because of the wild card weekend. Hopefully, we'll get back all together next week. And
hey, John.
Yeah, what's up, Leon?
John.
Yeah.
Can I say one last thing on David Stern if you have?
Yeah, go ahead.
About revolutionary. This man, David Stern. We love David Stern. He turned the NBA around. Is the first commissioner in history to rescind the trade. I'm talking about the trade that was sent Chris Paul to the Lakers.
To the Lakers.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. David. The rest in peace, David. I got to get that in.
Okay. Appreciate that, Leon. And, of course, to all the families involved, we give you our condolences and hope everything works out in the days ahead. Again, next week we'll hopefully be all together and we can talk about everything else that's been going on here. Again, we'll be breaking down the LSU-Clemson game. We'll be talking about the divisional championships and a whole lot more here on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be with you in seven more days. For Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown, John Morgo, thank you so much. We appreciate all your listenership. And again, we are on theradio.com. We are on SoundCloud. Hope to get on some more platforms in this year, hopefully to add some video components to it. And we appreciate all your patronage. So have a good night, everybody.